Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Three years ago, when this gospel came up, I told a story that I'm going to tell you again because I think it's worth repeating. So forgive me if you've heard it. Bishop Robin Eames was the Archbishop of the Church of Ireland. During the time of the upheaval between the North and the South, most recently, and he was instrumental in helping to bring peace to that area of the world. And I had the opportunity to spend a couple days with him in a big conference about church conflict. And he spoke to us as a keynote at the beginning and at the end of the conference. And in the beginning, he got up on the stage, and behind him was a banner, a big banner. And it showed two priests walking down the road, and they were fighting. And you could see them arguing and arguing about something. You didn't know what. And over here on the side was a man who had been hurt, and they didn't even see him. They never saw him. So caught up in their argument were they. Now, if I'm honest, and maybe if all of us are honest, especially those of us in organized religion, we can get all caught up in arguing about a certain perspective on Bible scripture. I love to do that. The rabbis used to call that midrash. Midrash, the dynamic word of God. And it's worth doing that, but it can also be dangerous. It can also be detrimental to people, using scripture to exclude anyone. There was a gentleman who's new to our church that told me that not too long ago, he was kicked out of his former church because he had gotten a divorce. And they backed that up with scripture. Kicked him out. Another person told me they got kicked out of a church because they were gay. And another because they thought it was because of the way they looked. And on it goes. We can use scripture for good or for ill. Now, this particular scripture that we hear today has been argued about for centuries. And there are many, many, many sermons within it, for sure. Those who take it literally as the literal word of God in their perspective might stand up here and point fingers at all of you while they're reading that gospel. Hopefully they're pointing it at themselves too. That would be the literal way of interpreting that scripture. If, like myself, you may take another deeper look in the dynamic word of God that is alive and meaningful all the time, all the time. We don't throw out that literal perspective, but we begin to realize that so too, Jesus may also have been talking about that inner life that we have, those inner realities, the hells that we create for ourselves that can feel like burning forever and ever. And ever. I know I've been there in my life before. I'm seeing some heads shaking, right? We can do that, and certainly those consequences sometimes do even lead to death. So this is a serious, serious gospel that we're talking about. The God that my understanding is this God of love and not of fear. So we have to look through the lens of the entire gospel when we read this. Jesus was making a point. When we argue about this kind of stuff, we too can be just like those two priests arguing along the road and miss the whole point, miss the exact argument. It was an argument that we had back in seminary. We had a project in a class, and it was to answer the question, will everyone be saved? So we split up the class, and you had to pick a number out of a hat and argue one side or the other, and you had to back it up with biblical background and academic resources. And thank God I got to pick the one that was trying to say everybody will be saved. But to tell you the truth, we had to work on that the whole semester. And we worked really hard. And by the end of the semester, it was pretty much a draw. You could prove it either way. But again, if we do that, we are missing the point of today's gospel. We are missing the point. So I would like to go through three points that I think this gospel is here to tell us today. The very first one is that God is with us in our suffering. We are ending our church year today. We have a three-year cycle. We're just finishing up year A on this particular Sunday. It's called Christ the King Sunday. And that next week, we begin a brand new year, year B, the first Sunday of Advent, as we prepare to welcome the Christ child. And we'll be singing a song, I'm sure, many different ways in many services, called Emmanuel. Oh, come, Emmanuel. You know that song? And Emmanuel means God is with us. This particular text tells us that Christ is with those people that society may choose to throw away just as much as Christ is with us. And to have those eyes, that when we look at people in need, that we're looking at Christ. That we're looking at Christ. On Friday, NPR had a great interview on their little program called StoryCorps. Have you heard it before on NPR? These great little interviews. And I'd like to play you a clip of one now. It's just about 2 minutes. And it's about two young men who chose to notice. One was a chef, a cook at a nursing home, and the other was the janitor in that nursing home. And the nursing home had been shut down. Let's hear their story.
It's Friday morning, which is when we hear from StoryCorps, celebrating the lives of everyday people and hearing their stories. Today, Maurice Rowland and Miguel Alvarez, they work together at Valley Springs Manor, which is an assisted living home in California. Or rather, it was. Maurice was a cook, Miguel a janitor. And last fall, the company that managed the home abruptly shut it down, leaving many of the elderly residents with nowhere to go. The staff stopped being paid, and they all left except for Maurice and Miguel. At StoryCorps, they talked about 3 days in which they cared for abandoned residents alone. Here's Maurice.
There was about 16 residents left behind, and we had a conversation in the kitchen, what are we going to do?
If we left, they wouldn't have nobody. We were just the cook and the janitor, but I was cleaning people up, helping them take a bath.
I was passing out meds. My original position was the cook, but we had, like, people that had dementia. I just couldn't see myself going home. Next thing you know, they're in the kitchen trying to cook their own food and burn the place down. You know what I mean?
I'll only go home for 1 hour, take a shower, get dressed, didn't be there for 24-hour days.
There are people up 3 a.m, walking around and...
Yeah, you couldn't go to sleep. I'll bring movies from my house. Let's watch this at 3, 4 a.m, then they'll go to sleep.
Even though they wasn't our family, they were kind of like our family for the short period of time.
You know, you feel sad, but you don't want to show them. You feel them right there, you know? My parents, when they were younger, they left me abandoned. And knowing how they're going to feel, I didn't want them to go through that.
I think you're pretty strong for sticking in there.
You too, Maurice.
If I would have left, I think that would have been on my conscience for a very long time.
Maurice Rowland with Miguel Alvarez at StoryCorps in Hayward, California. They cared for elderly residents of Valley Springs Manor until the fire department and the sheriff could come to take over. The incident led to the legislation in California known as the Residential Care for the Elderly Reform Act of 2014, which protects residents from being abandoned after a shutdown. This conversation is archived by the Library of Congress, and you can get the StoryCorps podcast on iTunes as well as at NPR.org.
Whether they realized it or not, they saw God in those people and stayed and were the hands of Christ in that moment. The second point that I think this gospel is telling us is that it's personal. That God is there with us when we are in need. and more importantly today, is calling us to be those hands, to be those arms holding someone up, being there for them in their need. It's personal. It's personal. And the third thing, so God is with us, it's personal. And the third thing is the role of religion and the role of churches in all of this. This story was taken when Jesus was sending his disciples out to do the work that he wasn't going to be physically present to do. He was urgently teaching them what they had to do to transform this world. And that, my friends, is what religion is supposed to be. But religion kind of gets a bad rap frequently. And as I've said over and over and over again, that root word of religion is to ligament, religio, to ligament us to who we really are as children of God. And when we come here, in this structure, in this space, we are to be supported then and re-ligamented back to the awareness of who we are really at our core, and that we are loved, and that we are good, and that we can go out and make a difference in this world. So in closing, do you remember the story with Bishop Eames? Well, on the third day of the conference, he gets back up on the stage, and the banner is up there with the two priests arguing and the guy on the side that nobody helped. But on this day, he put up a second banner. And in the second banner, the two priests had stopped to help the man. Just for a minute, they stopped their arguing, and they helped him. They were helping Christ. May we do so as well. Let us pray. God, we know that you are with us, but it's hard at times to remember. It's hard also to remember that you are in the eyes, the very beings of all with whom we come in contact. Help us see you in them, even the ones we have the most difficulty with, and especially those. We thank you for the holy privilege. In your name we pray. Amen.